This is LBC London News.
23 minutes past four, and to America now. Donald Trump, we're talking about him, he's sown more confusion over his plans to deal with the issue of immigration in the United States. Yesterday he made two appearances. The first was in Mexico City, where, as you might remember, he met the country's president. The second was in Arizona last night, where he made a fire and brimstone speech. Trying to make sense of both events, our Washington correspondent joins me live now from America. Simon, obviously a massive contrast, I think, between the Donald Trump who showed up in Mexico City yesterday and then the one who was on display a few hours later in Arizona. Can you tell us more about Mr. Trump's day?
It was a very odd day, Chris. I mean, he's almost at this point like the Jekyll and Hyde candidate for the presidency. It's almost like trying to report on two separate people. His day began, as you know, in Mexico City with that hastily arranged meeting with the Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto. And the two of them said that they had had a constructive conversation, a cooperative conversation, just the beginning of a dialogue, Donald Trump and his aides insist, that will now continue between the Trump campaign and the Mexican president. It only got hot at one point during their joint press conference when the Mexican president sort of turned to Donald Trump, addressed him directly but politely said, Mexicans in the United States and Mexicans on the Mexican side of the border all deserve to be treated with respect. He intimated that he didn't feel that Donald Trump had treated them always with respect during the course of the campaign so far, and he said that it was his duty to protect the rights of Mexicans wherever they're living, and that he would continue to enact those duties, as he put it, until the end of his days. Donald Trump, for his part, standing shoulder to shoulder alongside a foreign head of government for the first time since this election campaign began, saw this as an opportunity to be perceived as acting presidential on the world stage, and you could hear that in the remarks that he made as he stood alongside the Mexican president. He said that they had discussed the wall that Donald Trump insists he's going to build along the U.S. border with Mexico to keep illegal immigrants out of the country, but Mr. Trump suggested that that wall was going to be to the benefit of both countries, and on at least one major issue, who's going to pay for the wall, because of course Donald Trump has argued the Mexican government will end up paying for the construction of the wall. Well, that appears to be one big area of the conversation that was missed.
We did discuss the wall. We didn't discuss payment of the wall. That'll be for a later date. This was a very preliminary meeting. I think it was an excellent meeting. And we're very well on our way.
But then fast forward to just a few hours later, Donald Trump appearing in Arizona and addressing his supporters about that very same issue, immigration, the need to keep illegal immigrants out of the country. And just listen to the contrast between the way in which he presented himself there in Mexico, very subdued, very thoughtful, very careful, and the way in which he presented himself just a few hours ago in Arizona.
On day one, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall. We will issue detainers for illegal immigrants who are arrested for any crime whatsoever, and they will be placed into immediate removal proceedings.
So by the end of the day, a lot of people were frankly scratching their heads and wondering if the real Donald Trump at some point will please stand up. But certainly he was throwing pounds of red meat at his supporters there in Arizona last night.
There had been speculation that he'd been softening on the issue of deporting, 11 million people living illegally in the United States. It didn't sound very softy there to me, does he?
I know it's very interesting, though, Chris, because he doesn't sound in that speech like a softie. He does sound like he's returned to the Donald Trump of yore. However, if you actually look at what he said when he outlined this 10-point plan last night on illegal immigration and how to combat it, he has definitely softened up. He used to talk about forcibly deporting, if necessary, 11 million people living illegally in the United States. And there are many Republicans who say there's no way you can do that. The scale of the operation that would be required simply makes that impractical. But also from a human perspective, you can't do it because you'll be tearing families apart, dragging people out of their houses. It's simply not something you can do. And what Trump appeared to be saying last night is that he's no longer thinking. He doesn't view the deportation of 11 million people, as he put it, as a core focus of his policy. He's talking in his first hour of the presidency in signing orders that will result in the deportation of 2 million immigrants living illegally in the United States who he says have carried out crimes. But the other 9 million, he appears not to currently be taking a position on publicly as to whether he's going to go ahead and deport them or not. So everybody listening to that speech could come away with something. The hardliners could say, yeah, he's really on our side. Listen to the kind of rhetoric that he was using in Arizona there a few hours ago. But the more thoughtful voices within the Republican Party itself, who have been saying, well, hang on a second, we can't deport 11 million people, now have an opportunity perhaps to look at Donald Trump and say, well, maybe he finally realises that.
Because 11 million is a massive proportion of the population, isn't it?
Well, I mean, how would you do it? I mean, how would you how sizable a border force and an implementation force would you need? I mean, he's talked last night there about the need to increase the number of border agents and to create a really quite tough force of people to go out there and round up the 2 million people that he says he's going to throw out of the country. But how, I mean, what kind of a bureaucracy would you need in order to force 11 million people out of the country? And by the way, just bear in mind, the size of the bureaucracy, if you're a Republican, is not a tangential issue. The Republican Party likes to think of itself as the party of small government. Deporting 11 million people, that's going to require a pretty big government effort.
But didn't it help Donald Trump to be seen, at least for the first time, standing alongside the head of a foreign government? Doesn't that help to project him as a realistic presidential contender, especially when he was sort of seeming a little less animated than normal?
Well, that is definitely what the Trump campaign is arguing. They're saying that this was a bold and decisive move by Donald Trump to steal a march on Hillary Clinton and become the first presidential candidate to accept an invitation from the Mexican president to travel to Los Pinos, the Mexican president's office in Mexico City. And indeed, the Mexican president indicated that he had been, I think, somewhat surprised by the alacrity with which Donald Trump decided to accept the invitation from Mexico. He says he's hoping that Hillary Clinton will travel down there to meet him as well, although she would then, I think, be looking as though she was sort of following in Donald Trump's footsteps. So it does create some difficulty for the Hillary Clinton campaign. As for this issue of whether he looked presidential, well, we haven't seen Donald Trump in a situation where he has stood alongside a former head of government before. That's certainly helpful to the Trump campaign in terms of the imagery that it generated, these two men standing alongside one another, addressing the media gathered in Mexico City, taking questions from Mexican and American journalists briefly at the end of their prepared statements. On the other hand, there are those who say, well, how exactly did he acquit himself down in Mexico if he didn't raise the central issue of who's going to pay for the construction of the wall that Donald Trump says he's going to build? That, it will not surprise you, is the viewpoint of Hillary Clinton's running mate, Senator Tim Kaine.
When he gets in the room with the president of Mexico, what, he forgets this? He's been saying it, and the Mexican president knows he's been saying it, but he doesn't bring it up. Did he choke? Was he afraid?
Was he afraid? That's going to be the question that dogs Donald Trump after that visit to Mexico, given that the issue didn't come up. And let me just also make another panoramic point here, Chris, which is that this wall that Donald Trump says he's going to build, he's never going to build it. It is never going to exist. There is no way Congress, as things are currently constituted on Capitol Hill, will vote for a wall to be built between the United States and Mexico. So every time you hear Donald Trump talking about it, and every time it becomes a major focus of this US presidential election, just remember, it's a mythical wall today, and it will be a mythical wall next January, even if Donald Trump is sitting in the Oval Office.
And what's Hillary Clinton been up to whilst there's been so much focus on Mr. Trump?
Well, I think lying low is the answer to that question in large measure. She has been making some speeches. She spoke yesterday to the American Legion, a veterans group, here in Washington, D.C., and she poured scorn on the idea that Donald Trump was qualified to go and hold a meeting with the president of Mexico. But she also poured scorn on claims that Donald Trump has made that the U.S. military is in tatters, that its abilities have been depleted under the Obama administration, and that it is no longer a source of pride in terms of its capabilities for the United States. Here's what Hillary Clinton had to say to the American Legion on that.
That is an insult to the men and women serving today and all who have served before who put their lives on the line. It's just not true. Threatening to walk away from our alliances, ignoring the importance that they still are to us, is not only wrong, it's dangerous.
And that's going to be, I think, a cadence that you hear Hillary Clinton repeat many times between now and November. In many ways, she's struggling to get herself seen on television here, and Donald Trump is very good at keeping her off television by carrying out the kind of travel that he did yesterday to Mexico City and the speech that he made in Arizona last night. But, you know, the Clinton campaign argue that the Klieg lights don't always beneficially shine on Donald Trump. And I think for the moment, with her 5 to 7 points ahead in most opinion polls, they are relatively comfortable about having her make these speeches on a daily basis, keep chugging along while Donald Trump, they believe, continues to embarrass himself on the stage.
Because, of course, yesterday on Twitter, Mr. Trump was saying Hillary Clinton didn't go to Louisiana and now she didn't go to Mexico. She doesn't have the drive or the stamina to make America great again. Of course, that from when he's talking about the most travelled US Secretary of State ever.
Yes, I mean, he made a beeline for Louisiana after the flooding there. Hillary Clinton has not done that, although she certainly expressed concern about the situation in Louisiana. But I think this is Donald Trump both trying to underscore his view that he has the temperament and the competence and the ability to be a president of the United States. And so he's trying to project himself in a presidential light. But that also underpins the fact that there are many people that don't believe that Donald Trump looks particularly comfortable when, for example, he's standing alongside the Mexican president. He doesn't look like a man who has any experience of handling events like that, because he doesn't have that kind of experience. And certainly, you know, a United States that is used to watching Donald Trump on reality television programs like The Apprentice now has to get used to a very different Donald Trump, who feels sufficiently confident to get on an aeroplane, fly to Mexico City and go and engage in dialogue with the Mexican president.
Can you just give us a brief tease of what might be coming up on your podcast tomorrow?
Well, we're going to take a look extensively at this issue of the relationship between the United States and Mexico and how Donald Trump plays into it. I was myself in Mexico City just a couple of weeks ago and managed to get a bit of a taste of things there then. So we'll have some of that, plus, of course, a review of everything that's taken place this week. And we're going to be talking to a very prominent Mexican journalist who spent 20 years living here in Washington and is now back in Mexico City and brings a really unique perspective to this issue and the role that Mexico plays in this election campaign and the way in which Donald Trump is viewed south of the border.
Sounds like a fascinating one, one to watch out for. Don't forget you can subscribe to Simon's weekly podcast about the presidential election. It's called The Race for the White House, out every Friday, so you've only got 24 hours to wait. Of course, it's free as well. You can subscribe to it at lbc.co.uk. Many thanks once again to Simon Marks, our US correspondent, live from Washington.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries drink and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.